Turn on sound.
That's just because I didn't share it. Oops. Now. You good now?
Be good now.
You're there. Welcome to Beer Field. I am your host, Chris Hopper, at Beer Field Hop on X. Joined by at Beer Field Theory on X.
X? I suppose that
X.
wasn't a. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's a thing.
it's X now, I guess. That is a thing. Ryan will be joining us a little bit later on. He's got ADP posted at FF Face Off. He's on kid duty right now, so he will join us as soon as he can, which is convenient because we're doing an ADP episode. So we've obviously got the latest news and rumors from around camp, and we'll break down and give our thoughts there and everything. We'll break it down. I don't think we're gonna have any on-air breakdowns this week. Maybe.
Maybe. We'll
Maybe.
see.
And then we'll take a set through ADP. Some guys we're interested in, just kind of figure out where the lay of the land is as we start redraft season. A lot of you should be over the next 3 to 4 weeks. Well, 3 weeks, really. Yeah. Over the next 3 weeks should be drafting your teams and ramping up. You'll probably have multiple to get through. So this is critical. Nobody wins their league at the draft, but it sure as hell helps, especially you can get the first 8 to 10 rounds or so, right? So we'll do what we can to help you do that and to find some value. But before we do, you got anything to say intro wise before we move along?
Hi.
Hi.
I was in Colorado last week. I really want to move to Montrose. That was a lot of fun.
I bet.
Got to see mountains and goats
I learned
and
tonight
things.
I hate salespeople.
I mean,
Not you, not like people that do business to business
a
sales.
fun salesperson. I try to sell you and buy beer. Like, it's hard
Like
to hate.
the third party people that stand in stores
Oh.
and run you down while you're trying
Oh,
to shop.
I did that for 2 days and I was like, nope. Try to sell DirecTV at Walmart's.
Yeah, people
Nope.
trying to sell Spectrum in Walmart. Well, what's stopping you from switching? Probably my disdain for companies that employ over aggressive salespeople and the fact that I'll just never give them my business. They didn't really have anything to say to that. That was kind of
No.
weird.
Yeah. I wonder why.
I don't know. All
Know.
right. Beer.
Beer.
People just doing jobs, but do them less annoyingly.
You gotta make money somehow.
Yep.
What's fueling beer fueled?
What you drinking?
I am drinking Springfield's finest. Anvil and Forge, why not lager? This is their German-inspired lager, 4.6%. I'm trying to see. They didn't. I thought they listed their build. They did not. But this is we're in the beginning part of Oktoberfest season, so drinking a little more malt forward. German beers are always up my alley. I have been working hard getting my brewery, their beer, their Oktoberfest put on in many places.
Get it down here.
Well, I'm working on that. They should, yeah. Anyways.
I didn't see it the other day when I picked up some deadhead.
I know it's sad. I'm working on it.
All right, I'm back to Triptych because I feel like I do them a lot. This is Development Hell. It's their German-inspired lager. So we didn't plan that, by the way, but apparently we got two German-inspired lagers. I'm assuming that for Anvil, it means the same thing it does for Triptych, which is Helles. That's typically the more traditional German style lager. That's not a Märzen
Yeah.
or anything else. Is more of a Helles lager. They do put their build on their can. So, inspired by Munich Helles. It's inspired by not a Munich Helles, just because it's not respect, right? Not made
Yeah.
there. But they use Bark Pils malt plus a touch of Munich malt, hopped with Hersbrucker and Spalter Select. So Helles beer is typically looking for some melanoidins. A lot of that's in the process. A little bit of Munich malt for some depth. Traditional German hops. So I said that they're using Spalter Select and Herzbrucker. So just German noble hops. Anyway, more on these about halfway through the show. We'll have Ryan tell you what he's drinking when he shows up. Let's go ahead and get into some of this newsy stuff.
News.
All right, Garrett Wilson back at practice after an early on low ankle sprain. So doing 11 on 11 drills. They did more than expected. So if you were concerned about that, don't be.
Was never concerned.
Nope, not that early. Justin Jackson is retired from the NFL after 5 seasons. So pour one out for him. One of my personal favorites. Did good when he was pressed into duty. Just had problems latching on anywhere consistently. A little bit undersized, dynamic, but good for him. Hopefully whatever comes next is fulfilling.
Yep.
Anthony Richardson named the Colts starter for the first preseason game against the Bills. I'm assuming the thought there is that a veteran like Minshew doesn't need reps to be the starter. but both he and Minshew are listed as quarterback one on the team's official depth chart. So this could also be a Bucs situation where it's a true competition and Minshew will start game two. So we'll see how they play this. They're still saying it's a quarterback competition. This is the first line of, okay, maybe it's Richardson, but we'll see what they do over the next couple games because they could be in an alternate scenario.
Yeah, I'll wait to see what they announce for week two to actually start caring, and then I'll really care whoever gets the starting nod in week three, which is typically now, again, the week that tells us who probably the starting quarterback is going to be. And as for fantasy, I mean, as much as we love Minshew, this offense isn't overly inspiring. Yeah. AR would at least bring your rushing floor that you would see from, you know, guys like Hurts and Fields and Jackson who came from offenses that were below average, and then they're able to just so elevate their own fantasy production within it. So expect AR to be great, but
hell, Daniel Jones to a lesser degree.
Fucking Dean, yeah. Like, yeah. Jones, Minshew Jones even did it for, you know, for a couple games. Blake Bortles is, you know, classic. Show favorite.
Yeah. Yep.
The 2014 season will never get back or again.
Those were the best times. Kareem Hunt was on the verge of signing, or sorry, I skipped one. Baker Mayfield has been named the starter of the Bucs' first preseason game. Kyle Trask will start the second one. So the Bucs' job is uninspiring for different reasons. Like, there's still talent there, especially at the receiver spot, but oof.
It's, I think the only kind of exciting piece on that team might be Rashad White. And that's, and I'm assuming White's going to start the year as the main starter and hopefully stays healthy.
But Evans is produced with some dog shit quarterbacks. That
Evans produced with quarterbacks that can push the, I mean, Jarvis Landry was the favorite of Baker in Cleveland. Maybe that'll be the case with, you know, with Godwin and Godwin. With the Bucks. It's both wide receivers are fairly comfortably priced, and we can talk about them
later.
Later.
Yep. Kareem Hunt was on the verge of signing a deal with the Saints before the Colts came calling. Now he doesn't have a deal from either, left Indy without getting anything done. So his market's heating up. I'd imagine we'll see him sign somewhere within the next week. Colts are an interesting opportunity with Jonathan Taylor still not practicing and not a lot of veteran depth behind him. The Saints are a total clusterfuck.
It's like not even just Hunt. Zeke hasn't signed. Fournette hasn't signed. Cook with the allegations may not sign.
Viewed as a luxury signing.
We're getting very, very close to these, you know, veteran rookie, these veteran RB blowups that are going to just completely destroy some of these backfields that we think we know. You know, teams like the Jets have been linked to a lot of backups. A lot of these vets, you know, the Patriots have been linked. Saints now, the Colts, I mean, you know, are starting to, that, you know, makes a bit sense with the JT stuff, but
yeah. And
there'll be some weird shit going to happen within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. And there can always be teams that pop up that you don't necessarily think about, right? The Bears still have caps, not being rumored, but they still have cap space and a lot of unknown there if they wanted a more veteran presence to come in and try to solidify that. Now, Deonta Foreman is a veteran at this point, but, you know, just doesn't have the name cachet. Another team that comes to mind is somebody like the Raiders. Jacob's scenario. Yep. We'll get to that in a minute. So, you know, there are definitely teams out there that this could blow up, and you're on watch. And the other thing is with ADP, you know, it's really hard to scope those veteran guys because you assume they're going to be at least, you know, RB2, high-end RB3 productive when they do sign, for all of them. But you don't know when they're going to sign, where that's going to be, what the situation's going to be. So it's hard to evaluate, especially if somebody's like a mid-season signing. Hey, there's Ryan. Perfect. We can stop delaying. Just the man we've been waiting for.
And he's here.
He's got a different headset. Does this one actually work?
Working on it.
There you go. I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear everything else. I just can't get these. They said they're connected, but.
Well, you were just struggling with headphones, bud.
I have been lately. Is it you?
Is it user air or is it actually headphones air?
See, actually, like, the headphones are there.
I can hear you.
I can hear you guys too. I told you I was going to be late.
No, I know.
We know.
We talked for a bit, and then we're just kind of going through things slowly. But with it being an ADP episode, we kind of want to check in as we go, and that sure sticks. So
we were just doing news.
We're not anywhere important yet. You're good. We're not anywhere.
And what are you drinking?
I'm having a Sam Adams Blossom Lager that has been remastered.
Remastered.
Yeah, they changed it up. I think it's the same formula. They just changed the bottle. I'm sure they changed the formula. It's the remaster, but I'm not a fan of it, but I'm here. I'm interested to hear Ryan's thoughts on it.
I'm a fan of the fact that it's an all lager episode.
That's true.
I did something right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you didn't bring a seltzer around this time, so.
I know.
Sam Howell starting the first preseason game for the Commanders. Marlon Mack tore his Achilles again. He's going to miss the 2023 season and probably the rest of his career, which is kind of sad. Rashad Bateman activated from the PUP. That was apparently just his foot is the reason he was there. No movement on the Josh Jacobs or J.K. Dobbins fronts, although there are now rumors that if Vegas can't trade Jacobs, they may pull back the tag and make him a free agent. Denver and KC is actually interested. Rumored to be interested there, but that was
Denver and KC.
Yeah, those would be in division trades, but man,
it seems like KC is like in every running back and every wide receiver.
Because they can't draft him for shit, so you might as well try to bring him in.
Jacobs would be a huge upgrade over everything they have.
That is very true, yeah.
Able to actually use him as a pass catcher.
It would knock my CEH love back down again to nothing.
So, just something to keep an eye on, because right now they got Zamir White listed as the top, and that's why I said they could be a mystery team and on one of these veteran backs, too.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor is still missing training camp with an ankle injury, apparently underwent surgery and is still recovering. Same ankle as last year. Injured Chiefs, Kadarius Toney and Isaiah Pacheco expected to be ready by week one. Again, you're not real concerned yet. You're starting to get to the point, though, in training camp the next week or so where any injury is something that's going to be at least potentially have week one implications. So start paying attention there.
Yay.
Cowboys released Tristan Vizcaino, making Brandon Aubrey their only rostered player out of the USFL and their likely week one starter at kicker. So redraft kickers, Brandon Aubrey. Dallas figures to have an offense that can probably put up some points. That's what you want for your kicker.
Jesus, Tank Dell.
What?
I'm just looking at some of the preseason numbers. The games are on tonight a bunch. Eight targets.
Football is back.
Yeah. Football's a thing.
Eno Benjamin also tore his Achilles. Colts signed Kenyon Drake. Speaking of them going out and getting better in depth.
Right.
Good signing. What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
We're in that territory now with Drake, right? Like, it's been long enough.
I mean, yeah, and he's been hurt so much that
it works perfectly. Alvin Kamara, 3-game suspension for his Vegas fight. Henry Ruggs sentenced to a minimum of 3 years in prison, so he'll be 27 when he's out. So we'll probably end up with a chance again somewhere then. But sad situation all around. Terrible decision-making on Ruggs. Terrible mistake. Yeah. He, for his part, he seemed remorseful. For the family's part, you know, they seem ready to move on. We can put this thing to rest, and hopefully everyone can open up a new chapter and find peace and wherever life takes them. And Braxton Berrios, inside edge of wide receiver 3 spot in Miami over Robbie Chosen. You catch that, Ryan? He's going by Robbie Chosen now.
No, he did not catch
that. How much Ryan cares.
No, sorry. I just finally got them to work and everything just went completely silent. I'm like, oh God, I'm not going to react.
That's how much I also care about Robbie Chosen.
Robbie Chosen.
No, I just saw Lyft moving. I'm like, oh shit, now I really did it.
No,
what'd I miss?
Robbie Chosen. You know he's going by Robbie Chosen now?
Yes. Who doesn't know he's been going as Robbie Chosen?
Me.
Really?
I was today years old when I learned he was going by Robbie Chosen instead of Chosen Anderson.
Oh my gosh, come on.
Who invited you?
Ever since you got this new position, man, I swear to God, falling behind.
Not really. Maybe a little bit. My position didn't change. I just got a new job title.
You got a mustache now? I mean, come on.
Looks good.
Like he's gone full dad. That is such a dad look.
It looks like good.
That's a modern dad. I play disc golf dad look. He's got the bushy stash. Mm-hmm. He's trying to bring back the 70s is really what he's doing.
That's right.
I look like a 38-year-old trying to bring back 1998.
You look like you haven't left high school, Ryan.
I haven't. True.
You look like you still wear your Leatherman jacket out to a nice dinner.
He does.
You tell all the folks.
That's a good idea. I should do that for Halloween. Like, what are you supposed to be? I'm living the dream.
He goes, what do you mean? What do you mean a costume? This is who I am.
I'm the kid that peaked in high school.
It's like Varsity Blues. I've been going to these parties for the last 21 years. Haven't missed one.
I'm the guy that wished that peaked in high school. I still haven't peaked yet. I don't think I ever will. I'll peak when I'm in the senior home.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to peak at the nursing home.
I'm going to peak in the nursing home after my wife leaves me. He's like, I'm moving on to better things. I'm like, cool. It's my turn now.
Better things. Dude, if you're in the nursing home, she's 120.
Who left?
Who's still there?
I'm
married.
You can tell her I said that.
Oh, I know.
Kyren Williams has been, we're in the rumor section now, by the way.
Oh God.
Kyren Williams has been outstanding in the run and pass game. McVay does like to use a committee approach. So this is at least mildly interesting, I guess.
Don't care. It's Kyren Williams. I don't care.
It's Cam Akers. He's trash. Somebody's got to take some.
Cam Akers is better than Kyren Williams.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Low bar.
Your hate for Cam Williams can be, for Cam
low
Williams.
Bar.
For Cam Akers is there, but for fuck's sake, it's Kyren Williams.
It's a low bar.
He's
barely
an NFL player.
I mean, Sonny Michel, he had to retire.
And that's why these are here, to show people how much we care and how much we don't. Kenneth Gainwell is at the stronger camp and is currently handling more early down work than Rashad Penny. It was largely anticipated that Rashad Penny would get this work, but that has not been the case in training camp. Meanwhile, DeAndre Swift has the pass catching role relatively solidified, is well as the third down roll.
Draft Kenny Gainwell.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
He's still cheaper than Swift.
And Penny, right?
I think they're relatively in the same area, but they're pretty much the same price.
Let's get a first ADP check. Where's Gainwell at?
I just like how
I'm getting it. I'm going.
How FF Calc just has it all, you know, put up here nicely.
I don't like using FF Calc. I know some days that I'll find players, and the next day I can't find that player. I'm like, he was drafted. He had been drafted.
On FF Calc, Gainwell's 11th round pick. Penny's an 8th round pick, pretty much 9th round, 8, 12. And Swift is in the 6th round. We'll go to Fantasy Pros.
Because I got our ADP up on FFFaceoff.com.
What does FFFaceoff say, Ryan?
For Kenny Gainwell, actually, what was great though is you don't have to scroll through it; you can search his name.
You know, compared to the rest of his running backs.
That great? You should have it by now.
God damn it, Ryan! Where is he?
Not drafted.
What?
A lot of these drafts are like 15, 16 rounds.
Gainwell should be drafted in 15, 16 rounds.
Right.
Fucking ESPN doesn't even have him ranked. We're in August. These sites, Ryan, we're in.
Where did you say he was on Fantasy Pros, Dan? Or did you not find him?
I'm on there. He's ranked two. He's RB61, which is astronomically terrible. He's overall 226. He's behind Deuce Vaughn. He's behind Rashad Johnson. He's behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's behind Chuba Hubbard, Leonard Fournette, who's not even on a fucking team yet.
That's a value. I mean, that is literally a late round value. He might be
the best priced player right now.
He's up there. I have another thing I want to look at, but
Gibbs.
ETN's another one that comes to mind. I did my draft start this week, so I was doing my own quarterback.
Gibson is behind Brian Robinson Jr.
Yeah, I got Gibson at 93.
Where's ETN at?
Fantasy Pro says ETN. It's RB11, overall 31.
Where's Pollard?
Pollard is right. It's RB9, 21 overall.
Okay, so they're in about the same spot.
That was kind of the point, that they should be.
But when I was looking at the expert consensus rankings on Fantasy Pros to kind of, because I always use that as a starting point and then make my own decisions.
And my favorite run is might be Gibbs and Montgomery.
Yeah, they're both low.
No, yes. Gibbs RB. Gibbs is RB14, 36 overall. Montgomery's RB31, 83 overall.
Oh, fuck. Give me Montgomery.
All day. Give me the every down back. That's probably going to
take that in a heartbeat. The ET and Pollard comparison was because if you look at their underlying numbers, they're damn close to each other.
They're going to both be great. As long as ETN can stay healthy and Pollard can actually handle a full workload and survive. I still think Dallas brings back Zeke. I've been on that boat for most of this offseason.
Moore has been with the first team offense in training camp every step of the way. Rashi Rice and Justin Ross have been mixing in, but primarily with the second team offense for the Chiefs. This is a wide open competition on a high powered offense. So pays to keep an eye on this one.
They are starving for someone to step up.
They are. Kadarius Toney often injured and injured right now. Valdez Scantling has never taken the opportunity given to him. If Sky Moore's running with the first team, that's your first possible guy to step up. And you got Rashi Rice, Justin Watson, and Justin Ross breathing right down his neck.
They're all going to be priced relatively cheap. You can have your really is going to be your pick of the litter in your double digit rounds. I would be trying to grab shares of all of them. Rice, yeah. Myers.
Rice has some draft capital in him. Watson.
So does Moore. I mean, Moore is a second round pick 2 years ago.
No, more too. I'm more talking if I believe in Rice more so than I do Valdez Scantling.
That's where I'm going with that.
And more so than I believe in Kadarius Toney's ability to stay healthy. I think if he's healthy, that's another sneaky go, but he's never been healthy. So
his cost is getting cheaper and cheaper too. Based on Fantasy Pros, him and Toney and Moore are within a few spots of each other. So we're starting to see that
just take your
even out a little bit more.
Where are they at overall?
wide receiver 46, 111 overall, and wide receiver 50 or 49, 137th overall, which seems odd because to have these ranked weird, but
it's also really good though. I mean,
they're both, honestly, they're
five
both
in your draft range that
they're all double digits. Tony, if he'll never be a single digit guy. More is the one to watch out for if he pops off in preseason or if you keep hearing his name pop off and in practice and stuff like that, you'll start to see him probably creep up.
Okay. Bill's offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, singing the praises of Trent Sherfield. So the reason this seems weird, I know.
No. I just fucking Trent. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you know why I'm saying it though, right? Because Trent Sherfield has produced when he's had the opportunity to produce in that type of role where he's getting, you know, 5-6 targets and 80 yards and it's a hole plugger type of guy. I always talk about those guys as being important to your roster construction. He did it last year when Marquise Brown was out. And we know that Gabe Davis isn't a model of consistency. So in that the Bills tight ends targets go hot and cold. They want Allen to throw more. You know, we've seen it with Beasley. We've seen it with other slot receivers there that can be a position that puts up wide receiver 3-4 type numbers, which is critically important as you go through a season. To have somebody that can not blow up but be a consistent hole plugger for injuries and bye weeks. So that's an interesting thing to me because it's on a high powered, high scoring offense. It's somebody that's produced historically. And it's a role on a team where the regime hasn't changed over that's also produced historically.
Sure.
it's not sexy, sure. But
no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I have really nothing to.
Yeah, to follow up on either.
That's gonna be my type of rant. Obviously, that's my type of player, right? So,
yeah, I mean, they need somebody else for the digs. Diggs, who also got hurt. I don't think it's anything serious, but with guys like Hill Shakir not stepping up from last year in his rookie season. Obviously, Gabe Davis is very polarizing. I think he's only polarizing in the fantasy community, specifically on Twitter. Like, I don't think he's as polarizing elsewhere, unless you're talking to Bills fans. They need somebody else. I mean, it's very telling when they bring in John Brown and Cole Beasley last year during their playoff run that they're starving for somebody outside of Diggs to take a step forward. And I'm not saying it won't be. I'm not saying it will or won't be Sherfield. It's just more so the Bills have struggled to find a secondary option to Diggs. And maybe that's going to be Kincaid.
Oh, by the way, I just confused Greg Dortch and Trent Sherfield.
You did. No, I'm pretty sure Trent Sherfield.
I don't care about Miami last year. You did, and I don't care. Never mind.
Yeah, I was
forget
like
everything I just said.
I literally looked at him. I'm like,
Trent Sherfield, right, I think, had some run
he
for the
shit
Cardinals.
Last year. Yeah.
Well, I think he did have some run for the Cardinals a couple years ago.
I mean, he's been on the Niners and the Dolphins, I think. Yeah.
No, he played for – it was Niners and Dolphins the last 2 years. His first three were in Arizona.
Was it? God, he is. Yeah, he is getting up there.
And he had one good game.
Okay.
Hopper right. Vets himself on air.
Hopper vets himself on air. It happens.
I absolutely love
it. So everything I just said about Trent Sherfield applied to Greg Dortch in Arizona, and it still holds, but there you
yes,
go.
Yes, I mean, that is true. That part about Greg Dortch holds true, but we're just not talking about Greg
Dortch. We're not talking about Greg Dortch.
Oh, God, the Bills. What are you doing?
I don't know.
Oh.
Never mind.
Never mind.
Never mind. Jalin Hyatt, standout performer early in camp, while Paris Campbell will stand to see a ton of targets per The Athletic. Giants, so
who the fuck knows?
Yeah, it's wide open. It's another area where you have a shot at getting somebody at an extremely low ADP that definitely could outperform that. You're not going to expect wide receiver one numbers, anything near elite, but you know, you definitely could get somebody in the wide receiver three range out of that group that has some week-to-week upside. Hyatt is a deep threat. Campbell is explosive. You know, Hodgins is a touchdown machine. So there's definitely upside in that receiving core that might be a bit inconsistent. But again, it's another thing that we need to be watching throughout the preseason, a lot like the Chiefs. Chiefs, obviously, higher powered offense. But, you know, wide receiver ones on bad teams are fantasy viable wide receivers.
So I still I'm not a believer. I'm a believer in Daniel Jones.
I'm a believer in him
solely doing his own fantasy production. I don't have any faith in these receivers.
I think the hard part
Waller for me.
Waller's fine because you know that's okay. A tight end. He's
a tight end.
A proven volume getter too throughout his career. I don't care about these receivers. So I
would care more about
Hodgins. I like, you know, it was a nice run, but
I can't say that I don't care about the receivers. I can say that it's hard for me to know which receiver to care about.
That's why they're all free.
That's where I'm
That's
at.
Why. Yeah, and they're all free.
It's not that I don't care about them. It's that I don't know which one to care about. But if
I don't care about them.
All free and I'm in the end of my draft, I will take a flyer on a turn piece.
I would watch list.
Get out ahead of it, yeah.
I would watch list guys like Hyatt, like Campbell, guys that are more explosive. Hodgins, I think, was a product because there's nothing else there. It's You want to watch some explosive player. Yeah. You want to watch guys that are explosive, guys that are going to be out there for the big plays. That's the only worth they have because it's not a high-powered offense.
And both Campbell and Hyatt are that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the answer is going to be Sterling Shepard.
It's going to the answer is going to be the 16th slot receiver they brought in. No, it's going to be Jameson Crowder. They brought in Jameson Crowder. That's right.
About that.
Yeah. Thanks, New York. The fuck? Next is going to be Cole Beasley. I'm waiting for it.
Damian Harris is dealing with a knee injury. Didn't Cole Beasley sign somewhere?
I hope not. Fuck
no,
him.
He did.
Maybe he did.
He did.
Did he go to the Jets too? Because, I mean, they seem like they signed everyone.
No, he is on the Giants.
Is he on the Giants? No fucking way. Oh, man. What a joke.
Yeah, there he is. The Giants signed him 3 weeks ago.
I forgot. 3 weeks ago?
Yeah,
that's right, because we joked about it that they keep signing slot receivers. The fuck, man. So it's more James Cook season, right, out there in Buffalo. With Damian Harris.
That was actually the next note. Damian Harris dealing with the knee injury has been consistently behind James Cook. It's James Cook season. Yes.
Until they bring in his brother.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's how I'm reading those tea leaves. I think that is what it means. All right. We promised ADP, so let's do it. Ryan, let's go off of what you have. And how do we want to do this on air production meeting real quick? Do we just want to
Ryan's self? We can talk about,
well, I'm saying, yeah. Do you just want to like roll through the top 15 quarterbacks, just read them all off and we can talk about whatever we want to talk about?
Yeah, we can do that.
Want to do that? That work for you guys?
Read them all in order, and then if anything sticks,
read them
out,
in order,
and
we'll
it.
Talk.
Don't pause. Just read them all.
Yep.
I'll read them all.
Read them all.
In order, 1 through 15.
Quarterbacks?
Yes. We'll start with quarterbacks.
Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson. Wow. Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, Anthony Richardson, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, Geno Smith. That don't make sense. Oh, I see why. Never mind. I was going to say Sam Howell, but his ADP got boosted up because he was drafted twice.
No.
Compared to the 30-some mocks. So we'll skip him. So Daniel Jones, Jared Goff, Russell Wilson.
Okay. Couple things stick out to me.
Yeah.
All right. So going up to the top first off. So I just did this exercise for myself. Mahomes, Allen, Hurts is fine. I actually had a big Hurts or Burrow or Jackson like breakdown that I did. And Hurts is a proven better passer than Jackson with more legwork than Fields. It kind of puts Hurts is almost in what I call tier 1.5. Where the rushing upside isn't quite good enough to put him in the top tier and the passing upside isn't good enough to put him in the top tier. But between the two things, he's better than the tier below him. That's not what's interesting to me. So, Burrow's fine. I have Fields in the same tier as Lamar Jackson.
I think most people, I think a lot of people would.
The rushing numbers are extremely similar. And I think the other thing that stuck out to me going through this first jump is that I think Justin Herbert's high. I think people are a lot higher on Justin Herbert than they should be, given the fact that there's been no real upgrade to his receiver core, like at all. You got another year older on Keenan Allen. He threw 700 times and had a touchdown rate that was below 4%. Well, yeah, that's low for his career. You know, when you look at what's changed with this offense, the answer is really nothing. And if trajectories are considered the same, he's in a situation where Fields is going to pass him and Lawrence is going to pass him for sure.
I think for Herbert, it's to bring it on Kellen Moore.
Yeah,
I think bringing on someone who's had the success with Dak in Dallas the last three or four years now, it's the same arguments you make for for Burrow, guys who don't run the ball traditionally a lot, but are in high volume offenses playing against high volume opponents who also have good quarterbacks. That's the argument for Herbert, at least in my book. Why you? You're trying to predict his leap, and that's why I think where people are at. It's not there yet, but it's that prediction.
And to be fair, he's at 9 for me. He's in the same tier as Lawrence and Dak and Tua. Tua, I also think, is a little low by comparison. Just I think people are worried about the injury side of it, and that we've seen that in a lot of ways drive his ADP down, and a lot of things that we've looked at. But the performance was, when he was healthy, was absolutely on the same plane as what you could stand to get out of a Herbert or a Lawrence.
Yeah. Yep.
I sort of have Herbert or Lawrence over Fields, though. I don't see it in Fields. I don't see his upgrade really there with DJ Moore. I don't think DJ Moore is that receiver that we want.
I think it's the 1,200 yards rushing that people like about Justin Fields.
Yeah. But then, like, if it's that, then you should look at Lamar Jackson just as better, and then he should be up in the next tier.
I am always advocated for running. I love my Konami Code quarterbacks. Like, Chris is so high because there's no big running back in Philly, and they're going to be in the red zone and absolute shit done. Hurst might not get as many yards rushing. He's going to score a lot of fucking rushing touchdowns. The same argument you make, for Josh Allen every year, for Cam Newton, for like Richardson is probably my favorite. Again, we always approach late round quarterbacks the same as who's got the biggest upside in single QB leagues, of course. Not, two QBs are a little bit different, but.
Yep.
Richardson, that's why I love Richardson. I don't love Daniel Jones, but he's going to probably run the football a bunch because he's always done that since he's joined the league. And this offense hasn't got much better, so I don't really see that changing.
Daniel Jones is Jalen Hurts without the passing ability, essentially.
Yeah.
And without the rushing touchdowns. So he's if you look at the Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen's, and Patrick Mahomes of the world, this is the poor man's version of that, is what Daniel Jones is. And I don't hate that, but they didn't get him a lot of established receiving help either, so you can't think that that's going to increment. For Fields versus Jackson, the rushing peripherals are almost exactly the same, like they're damn near identical, but you're really betting on who's going to take the bigger step as the passer, and you can bet on Jackson, that's fine, over Fields. And I think a lot of people with Monken, but Fields has got to develop too. They both have to develop, and that's the thing, right? Jackson, everyone wants to see it. The Fields has got to get better than leading the league in sacks and a 3.5% INT rate, but they both have to take steps. I think that's why they're in the same tier. They both have to take steps. People are projecting both of them will take a step. And the rushing numbers they're starting from are damn near the same. Jackson has a bit of an injury history riding on him, too.
Yeah, and an MVP season underneath his belt, too. But if you look at Fields, I mean, he has to improve because he sucks. He was one of the worst quarterbacks, basically, when it came to passing opportunities, passing productivity. His efficiency
He had a fantastic line and a terrible receiving core, and Fields has been a see it before I throw it, and he had nobody there for him that he could see it with.
Yeah, besides Cole Kmet. After 13 seconds of sitting back there in the pocket waiting to throw it.
Right. one of the tight ends, not normally your first or your second or your third or your eighth read. So,
yeah, when your wide receivers were as bad as they were last year, and DJ Moore is not going to solve it.
But no,
the quarterback position is meant to extend the drive. It's meant to keep the drive moving, keep the ball moving. Fields, when it comes to his rushing production, is why he should be drafted where he's being drafted. I am very bullish on Jackson. I think he will be probably the QB on this year. I'm and that's just not my homerism, but I will heavily buy into that. But I don't see anything that sticks out for quarterbacks like at all. The way that Ryan read it, the way that Fantasy Pros has it, nothing shocks me.
The only two things that jump out to me is that if you're looking late round QB, not that this is shocking, but I wanted to see how I valued guys lined up against the ADP. And what I'm seeing right now is that if I'm looking late round, if I'm just going to completely ship and sell off QB, that Jared Goff and Geno Smith are two actives that are two guys that are attractive in single quarterback leagues.
You want to
stream
punting that off. Those are two guys that I'd be interested in. What are the ADPs on those two?
So Goff is one. I'm sorry, Ryan, go ahead with yours, with pros or with
Goff's
ADP
120.97 and Geno's at 111.
So round,
those are late rounds.
Round 12.
Those double digits. Geno's QB 15 for pros. Goff 17. Russell Wilson's another one that I have no problem buying back into, just with the what should be a significantly better improvement on from last year with Sean Payton at the helm and just year two, year one with his offense. But Sun's coming in lighter, and I think people are just more excited. I think the team's more excited as long as they can stay healthy, because that pour one out for Tim Patrick, my friends.
One of my favorite late round flyers is Kyler Murray still, just because we don't know what's going on with him. He's definitely not one I would take at the first quarterback, but
you can
definitely
draft him.
Draft him and stash
one of your last rounds and take a guy like Cousins first or Goff. Guys you know are going to get a lot of volume throwing the football. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
100%.
Yep. All right. Not a lot that jumped out there. Let's move on to running back. I want to do these 12 at a time, and then we can ask about a couple guys. So let's do 1 through 12 first, if you don't mind. I don't expect there to be a lot here, but let's see what it should be.
No, it's almost chalk. Like, I just looked at it real quickly as you were talking. I'm like, it's kind of chalk besides one. So I'll kick it off here. Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor as of right now, Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, Ramondre Stevenson, Najee Harris, Breece Hall.
Okay.
And right on the edge of that, look on the outside looking in, is Travis Etienne and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Okay. So there are some things there for me.
And there's some differences too. Fantasy Pros isn't as bullish on Ramondre.
I'm fine being bullish on Ramondre. I'm not.
Derrick Henry, I've seen the arguments for Henry. If he's that solid running back, at some point he's gonna break down, and I just don't want to be on that side.
At six. I think Jacobs would be higher if you would actually sign. I think that's a concern with him right now.
Yeah.
He'll start the fall.
I've got Nick Chubb. I think the biggest difference for me is that I have Bijan down in Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor territory, because running backs are volatile, right? So I have him down in the territory of could be really good, but I've always been a little bit more restrained with him than a lot of people have. So I probably will get none of that, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I've got Nick Chubb up at RB2. Because if they're going to use him in the passing game the way that they're claiming they are, and I don't believe in Jerome Ford, he is on track to have a season similar to what Josh Jacobs did last year.
I think he could beat Derrick Henry from a few years ago. A metric shit ton of carries. Maybe a little more uptick in pass catching, but again, if Cleveland's going to be playing with the lead, which I don't know how much they will within their own division or conference, but I think Chubb will be your Henry from a few years ago, your Jonathan Taylor from 2 years ago is going to be, you know, your carry leader, which holds a lot of weight still, even in PPR leagues, right? It won't be sexy every week, but the reason why everyone wants Derrick Henry as a top five back for most years because he just gets the volume, even if it's not receptions. And
yep,
I don't see much of a difference in this top 12, even looking at fantasy pros. I'm fine with all of them.
There's some debating you can do around where exactly they're at, but for the most part, these are going to be your top 12.
Yeah, I'm not as bullish on Stevenson. I think New England's made it pretty clear they want to bring some more running mates in. I'm also not bullish on that offense. It's legitimately zero, none.
I think the problem with that is that when I look at who I have, so my tier five, which is where I have Stevenson, is him, Aaron Jones, J.K. Dobbins, Harris right on the edge of it, and Miles Sanders. And those are all guys that's like, all right, you don't necessarily believe in them. Their teams might not necessarily believe in them, but they sit in a position where they could potentially have volume, and they have produced in the past to where, you know, I'm okay with that. I've got them at 13. That tier runs 13 through 18.
That's pretty much them. Yeah.
So that's pretty much like where that is. Kenneth Walker's sitting there. Breece Hall, I've got Hall lower because I'm really, really concerned the way the Jets have been pursuing Cook and everything about where Hall's at health wise.
Yeah.
So that's,
but he ran 22 miles an hour.
Okay.
Straight. That's what people understand. He ran straight. He's not cutting. The cutting is what really puts the tension on your ACL.
Yeah. All right. The next few are going to be more interesting. I'm fine with ETN. I'm fine with Gibbs. I'm fine with Pollard being in that area. I've actually got Gibbs a tier lower, but that's okay.
I'm torn with how I want to be bullish on him. I think I won't get him anywhere. I think most people would be higher on him. I'm excited to see, because I think it'll be more of a second half play. And the fact that Detroit's going to be, should be a top 10 offense this year, which is
I think Montgomery is more of a volume play too than what Gibbs is. I think Gibbs is going to be high efficiency. So
Gibbs is lightning in a freaking bottle.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe, like, when I went to training camp and saw him move, like, the way his feet can move, holy shit.
I mean, and you can't ignore him.
Yeah.
Getting a top 15 pick. Like, they're not going to shelve him. This isn't Jameson Williams sitting on the bench.
No.
Like, this is.
He's going to be out there.
He will be out there as long as he's healthy. And how they use him as a playmaker is also where my excitement comes from. Just how many snaps is he going to get per game?
He's my first guy in the tier below the volume guys that have question marks, just because I don't expect him to be a super high volume guy. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got behind ETN and Gibbs? Give me the next few.
You got Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, Ken Walker, and I just lost it. Oh, there it is. Miles Sanders, Damian Pierce, J.K. Dobbins, Alexander Mattison, which I'm not high on. I'm actually starting to drop him down on my own.
Yeah, nope. I'm with you.
I'm not high on Pierce either.
No, I'm not high on Pierce. I don't like that offense in general. Like, the whole...
Why invest to a player that's not going to be even using the passing game? Like,
well, right.
On a bad offense.
And also, they brought in Devin Singletary. It's Singletary, and I'm sorry. Like, I don't love Singletary either, but... Is one really better than the other?
And I like Pierce.
He's better than Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, that team is going to be pretty bad this year.
Yep.
Good job, Arizona, for getting their first round pick too.
And Madison, same thing. I share your concerns around that. I've got Madison at 24 for me, just because I know that he could end up with volume. But I've got him a bit lower than where I think we're at right now.
He is probably never going to draft. I have a few shares of him in Dynasty that I'm trying to offload, but yeah, just give me the guys late. Yep. Give me the rest of the running back field back there.
Yeah, keep going.
Did I say Alvin Kamara after Madison?
You said Alvin Kamara, yep.
Okay, so after right after that, it's Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, James Conner, Dalvin Cook, which I think has been auto-picked a few times, so that's what's happening, because sometimes the ADP just rolls in on it and someone leaves the draft early.
That's fair.
Rashad White, Javonte Williams, Isaiah Pacheco. We could stop there because I'm not a fan of Isaiah Pacheco in general. Because he's going as a high-end RB3. But if you look at their splits that he had between him and McKinnon at the end of the season, it was actually leaning more towards McKinnon. And yeah, sure, like people will say, well, Pacheco's been, you know, working in the passing game. But also Pacheco's not wearing pads yet. He hasn't even been cleared for contact. And they're hoping he's going to be ready for week 1. So I feel like as of right now, we're drafting Pacheco at his ceiling. And yeah, he's definitely someone I'm definitely avoiding on that one.
I don't want to draft him at his ceiling. I want to draft him somewhere RB 30 to 35 is where I'm comfortable with him. I don't want to draft him at his ceiling. So,
I mean, it's – so FF Pros has him as RB 27, 74 overall, so that puts you in the sixth round. FF Calc has him as RB 29 in the seventh round. Pacheco is going outside the dead zone, but it's in that spot where Pacheco the type of running back you really want to hinge yourself to? He doesn't catch passes. He won't catch passes in this offense because he won't be asked to. Yes, he's on a high powered offense, and yes, he will get into positive game script moments, which he'll be the lead toucher in that backfield, but that's few and far between, especially if you believe that the Broncos improved, the Chargers improved, and the Raiders improved. I don't think the Raiders have, but
I don't think the Raiders have. I believe the other two. Chargers marginally. Right. And yeah. But at the same time, like, who do you want to hook yourself to here?
Rashad White in this point. The Bucs are going to have to throw. It's a bad division, but none of their quarterbacks are mobile.
Baker's mobile.
None of their quarterbacks are mobile.
A lot
of checkdowns is where I think you're going to see
most leagues. You got 12 people drafting, so you got to have at least two or three guys in this tier that you're willing to.
Yes, you have to. Yeah. Yes.
So, and that's where I get caught on this, because I think looking at what was just named off. Okay, James Conner is going to be a volume guy. He's not going to be efficient. He'll be a volume guy when he's healthy. Javonte Williams is a big question mark. I agree with you on Rashad White completely. He's going to catch passes. He's going to get the first crack at rushing downs. I completely agree with you on him. Pacheco on a Chiefs team that figures to probably have some leads to protect late, I don't think is the worst you can do in this area, right? I'm ignoring Dalvin Cook right now. He's not signed. We don't have any insight into that. I'm ignoring, like, this is an area where I would have Leonard Fournette, Zeke Elliott, Khalil Herbert's right there. I want David Montgomery, who you said was at 31, is another one that I really, really want in this area.
Antonio Gibson is probably favorite. Yep. It's him and White. I want running backs who are big enough to be volume players if they get the chance to and are clearly the pass catchers on their offense. Again, you know, figure that you're playing in half point or better PPR type of leagues. Those guys are valued. And then if they have a plus role as a runner, especially if they're big enough to handle goal line carries or short yardage work, those are the guys you want. James Cook's even, I mean, with the injury to DM.
Where's James Cook at?
James Cook is in that same range.
Okay.
Yeah. 30 on FF Calc. Yeah.
He's another one that I want here.
And this even really like James Cook, but it's the offense you're buying into plus the role that they should have, and the team's excited about him.
This is the sweet spot to get your third or fourth running back.
Absolutely.
Is right here.
Which is funny because there's so many names. I'm just like,
Well, because I always feel like every year, like when we do these drafts, like everyone's like, you know, everyone's going like wide receiver heavy, and these running backs keep dropping. It's like, it seems like when everyone's zigging, I start zagging. It's like, all right, you know, let me try this running back. And
the heavy RB is going to be fun to see it pulled off, because I'm there with you, Ryan. And like, it's a good strategy to zig when everyone's zagging.
Yeah,
but the running back, like, they scare me this year. I'm sorry, but they. Like
because of how they performed last year, but like every year it changes. It's like, well, it's always like
half of them get hurt. Through. Yeah, we all know. Like every single fucking year, we always say this is the most injury riddled year ever, and no one's healthy. And
you know, running backs really deep. And it'll happen every year, and it will happen this year.
And they're committees, so it's not even like you have a lot of golden handcuff type people around here either. So
no,
and we haven't seen Fournette sign, we haven't seen Cook sign, we haven't seen Zeke sign, we haven't seen the saga end for Jacobs or for Dobbins, and see what that plays out. The fact that Denver's already been looped in with some of these players again should make you a little weary on Javonte Williams, but his cost isn't as high as some of these other guys. It's just the whole Mixon thing now, because Mixon's like, the report came out about his last offense, or what he's being his last thing, and it's pretty crazy if it's true, or you know, to what extent is, but
yep.
And then you have injuries, you know, Walker's already hurt.
Yeah.
Like the old Seahawks backfield is fucking banged up, and Walker right now is a top 20 running back. And I mean,
yep. And you know, really it's Charbonnet right now too is the only one there that
he's also hurt.
He was also banged up and hurt, and Kenny McIntosh is going to miss multiple weeks. So
Dallas time, baby. As you mentioned, DJ Dallas time.
Yeah. They're already beat to hell. Some other guys I kind of like late before we put a bow on running backs. Ryan, you mentioned McKinnon. I'm right there with you, and I know Dan has too. He is an extreme value right now. It's drop if he's not, and upside if he is. Pierre Strong, not a lot of hype coming out on him, but again, just looking at New England and how they do like to go RBBC.
And he's free.
He's free.
He's like, you get right at the very end of your draft.
Yep. Yeah. He's free. It's a dart throw. Somebody in New Orleans that isn't Alvin Kamara, be it Jamal Williams or Kendre Miller. Or Kareem Hunt if he signs, but he didn't. So yeah, those are some other things I'm looking at. And Devin Singletary in Houston. I don't think you sign him for nothing. I think that there's a chance that he outperforms Pierce. So
yeah, of all the Miami backs too, which are relatively inexpensive. Tank Bigsby, a lot of praise out of Jacksonville. ETN's had a track record of of missing time, slightly undersized. He weighed in bigger than what he was at the combines. We don't use him play at that 215 weight. He's generally slimmer. And Bigsby, while had a disappointing end to his college career with Auburn, I think, and then wherever he transferred, I forgot where it was, but he was also a bigger right size running back who can also catch passes on a offense that we all figured to be improved more this year than it was last year. So
yep. The other name I'll throw out there extremely late is Keontae Ingram. Running behind James Conner, they try to limit his use because of injuries. He's not hyper efficient. And by the way, he does get hurt. That's the handcuff there.
Yeah, I like that. I was going to mention him too. Definitely like him.
It's Corey Clement and Tyson Williams behind that. So Keontae Ingram's another guy that he was a late round pick last year that is one injury away.
The backup in Tampa Bay is Sean Tucker, who's been fully cleared, medically cleared.
Oh yeah, I always forgot about him.
Also free. I know you don't want.
I try to forget about him.
Was there a movie called that? Something about some Tucker, don't kill Sean
He's
Tucker.
He's listed as fourth on their depth chart right now.
I'm just reading off what I saw on Twitter.
Bijan Robbins RB3 on his depth chart. I'm not really too worried about depth charts.
Yeah, depth chart is the last thing I care about.
I'm just saying that. Well, here's what I'm saying, right? It's a college free agent behind Keyshawn Vaughn, that was a third round pick, and Chase Edmonds, that was a free agent signing. So don't be so sure that Sean Tucker's got that backup spot.
Vaughn was from a different regime. None of these running backs, fuck it. Like, this is a different regime. They didn't draft Rashad White, too.
Well, yeah.
Again,
Edmonds wasn't, though. He was signed.
Yeah.
So, and he's a veteran backup that's used to playing that role with some productivity. I'm just saying, don't be so quick to anoint Sean Tucker there. He's a college free agent.
John Tucker Must Die was a movie.
Yeah. Well, Sean Tucker.
No,
I had to look it up. I couldn't get off my mind. It's like the stupid things on my mind. It's like
Sean Tucker's hype must also die.
No, there's very little.
Oh no,
it's okay, buddy. You'll be okay. He won't hurt you anymore. I promise.
I'll put him in the corner with CEH and everyone else.
All right. Anything else on the backs? Or can we do a beer review?
I need to beer review.
Beer review.
All right, I finished mine, so I'll go. One thing I've noticed about the Bark Pilsner malt, the Development Hell from Triptych, by the way, German-inspired lager. One thing I've noticed about the Bark Pilsner malt is it has a really, like, grassy... This is the second... No. Indiana was the other one. In any event, it's got, like, a really, like, earthy, generic, grainy, like... almost grassy type of note to it, this beer does. And while it's something I personally like quite a bit, that can be off-putting for people, and that's not normally the grain character I'd expect in a Helles. I'd expect more bready, toasty, you know, rich type undernotes. Not so much something that's going to be more earthy and grassy, but it's also unique, and I do like unique malt characteristic. It's very easy to drink, very clean. Most of their lagers are. The hop character definitely does come out. A little bit spicy, a little bit floral. It's well balanced, but you know, that's why it's inspired, not exactly a German lager. And it's because the malt character is completely different than what you'd normally expect from Helles. It's good. Like I said, that particular flavor profile I get off the malt could be pretty polarizing, but extremely drinkable, and another solid beer from them.
And again, I also had a German-inspired lager from our local, or at least my local, used to be Hopper's local, Anvil and Forge. This is their Why Not lager. This one, it's got a light, medium body. Color suggests, you know, it's a good copper color. Really can't, it's going to stick out more on my webcam than what it actually is, but got a nice rich copper tone to it. It's got a really, really good soft kind of caramel toffee flavor. It's not overly bitterness. I don't know what they use for hops. I'm sure they use some just for a slight bitterness and some, and for some floral that don't really stick out though. And it's not rich, but it's definitely, you can definitely taste the different components into this. It's a really good lager if you like the style, if you like more of the on the kind of bronzy style, more of your coffee and toffee flavors to it. So if you ever get a chance to be around downstate, if you're getting a chance to be in Springfield, hey, let me know. I'll point you towards the right places to go to.
Oh, that might be where I want to go to lunch on Saturday.
They do food.
Oh, I know they do. And that
big ass slices of pizza,
but they're what is it, their artichoke dip?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah,
and that's it's the best one I've ever had.
It's fucking delicious.
Fucking
really
fantastic. Oh yeah, it's like a jalapeno artichoke dip.
Yeah, they put in thick jalapenos in there.
Yeah, it's
spicy. And they have the seeds in there, so everything remains spicy.
It's not like kick your ass spicy, it's a slow burn. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I never thought about putting jalapenos and artichoke dip. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Have good beer too. That's a plus. But
yes,
beets is phenomenal. Also, anyway, go ahead,
Ryan.
All right, so I had the Sam Adams Remastered Boston Lager, and I don't know if you guys ever had Boston Lager. Dan, you said you didn't like it, the new one, that much.
No,
but
I don't like Boston Lager. Like this, like I haven't had it in years, but I was not a fan of it. So
yeah, it's like. Like I just taste more caramel than anything.
I mean, maybe I'll like it now. I mean, I'm not really sure. Yeah.
Like it has like a nice caramel, caramel and toffee flavor to it. Like it's not like it's something you could drink really quickly, but the aftertaste, like the Boston Lager aftertaste used to be like, it was all right. But now actually it has a better aftertaste. Like I can actually like taste the hints more of the toffee, taste more hints of the caramel as it sits over a period of time. Mm-hmm. And it then it all like just fades away.
They might have changed their malt bill a little bit. I'm going to look that up.
Possibly. It sounds, I mean, Ryan's description makes it sound better. I'm not a fan of both things, Sam Adams. So, but
I love my Sam Adams.
I think they have one of the most overrated Oktoberfest, I think, of all time. I think it's trash. I'm sorry. I just don't think it's good.
And I'll try the remastered though.
I mean, if someone had it, was like, here, try this. I'm like, all right. Like, I won't say no to a beer that may have changed, but
I'd like try the new remastered Oktoberfest.
I wish it'd be probably more Marzen.
They have a remastered Oktoberfest?
No, if they did, no. I'd probably be more inclined to try it because I don't like their Oktoberfest.
I like the Oktoberfest
too. I slammed a shitload of Noon Whistle Fest beer earlier this week.
Because Noon Whistle's great. They won a gold medal for one of their pilsners. Like
it was really good. What you need?
They're a hazy brewery that won a gold medal for a pilsner. That's incredible.
What you do need to pick up, Dan, is Schlafly's newly redone Oktoberfest. That one's really good.
Yeah, I tried it somewhere. I think when I was down in Missouri last, I think I got some of it when I was in Columbia.
Yeah, they did good with it.
I'll be there. I'll be in KC next week.
Hooray!
Shit out there.
Sweet.
Find some more barbecue places.
Oh, I will.
All right. I'm going to keep reading through this to see if I can figure out what they changed. If you want to start with running backs there, Ryan.
Wide receivers.
Yep.
Let me pull it up here. All right.
Pretty chalk, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
None of these stand out at all.
I mean, you're going to you're probably going to switch a couple around based on where they're going. But as right
That's
now.
That's preference, right?
Yeah, and the most you're going to change is like one or two spots. It's not like, oh, he should be at number 5 compared to number 12.
Yeah.
But it goes Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson.
And that's your top 10. Yeah, that's...
2, 3, 4.
Yeah, that should be your top 10.
Yeah, then Jalen Waddle, Chris Olave, sorry.
Yeah, that's
that's pretty chalk. I have no complaints there.
I don't like just looking at just looking at Fantasy Pros, nothing really sticks out until maybe they have, Debo at 16, I think is my only, maybe Metcalf at 15, but yeah, I think the top 15 to 18 are all pretty much chalk, if not, bigger. Is there any names that stick out to you, Ryan, that as you keep looking down more on the FF faceoffs ADP?
No, because I mean, T. Higgins coming in at 13, but I'd switch him with Devonta Smith.
I mean,
right there, right behind him. But DK Metcalf, I don't know how you guys really feel about him with JSN.
I'm there with you. I'm expecting a Geno regression. I'm expecting Seattle to kind of regress in itself. And the addition of JSN, you still have Lockett there. If they keep losing running backs, they're going to have to throw more. I guess yeah, there's that, but it's hard. I think wide receiver 15 in the, the middle of the, in the back and second, middle, third, or not back and second, but like in the middle of the third round, I'm thinking I'm okay with. I don't think that he's,
Yeah, I just
33rd
like
overall. Yeah.
Like his downside is but he also had 23 red zone targets last year. So, or not red zone targets, but goal, God damn it, what the hell is it? I can't even get the
goal and goal targets.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, 23 end zone targets, basically.
I think that's top 10.
Yeah, so he went from double digit touchdown last year to 6, which is another thing to look at. So he should definitely have touchdown progression. It's no such thing as positive regression. I'm sorry. He should definitely get a.
Do you like him more than my receiver 15 then? Is what you're saying?
I don't like him more than wide receiver 15. I just think he'd be more touchdown, but I don't think he's going to see 141 targets. And people think
I'm sorry, who are we talking about? Because I was reading out bioacidification. I figured out
DK Metcalf.
Oh, gross.
Right? And he saw his highest target total last season at 141. And people think JSN coming in, it's going to be more Lockett or the tight ends are going to take the hit. It's like, no, the whole team's got to take a hit somehow.
Right.
So and bring it all down.
That 141 was a super inefficient 141 for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, considering what he got out of it. I think it was I don't even think he broke 1,000 yards. I think he was like 1,048 and six touchdowns.
1,048, six touchdowns. The catch rate really wasn't that bad, actually. Where did he get hurt? Yards per reception was only 11.6. They weren't using him deep. I don't know if that's a Geno thing or if that's a because the tight ends were F.
I mean, I'll be more inclined.
They just didn't. I don't know.
I'd be more excited with him if they use him. It's like the in that Des Bryant, that more of that Truon alpha works all over the field because he's such a big guy. Right. I mean, granted, you want to use his true skill set as a deep nine threat, but still, like, if he's going to get volume, I'll take that if he loses, if he does, you know, drop in touchdowns. But as Ryan said, like, you know, touchdown progression should definitely be there. I'm not as heavily bought into Seattle, but I think his price is fine.
Yeah, and I'm looking through it now. If you get closer to what you had in 2021, where he was in the 100, or even, hell, his rookie season, where he was 7 touchdowns, 900 yards, and on only 100 targets, somewhere between where he's been at there and where he was the 2 years prior, where he had double-digit touchdowns on 130 targets, I could see him in the 110, 115 range approaching double-digit touchdowns. What hurt him last year looks like he was used shorter and the yak took a hit by a bit.
I mean, you go from...
And then the touchdown side of it, but went from Russ to Geno, so...
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. They're not working him downfield as much. He doesn't... And he's better working downfield. So with JSN, who works more intermediate, I think there is an opportunity to unlock more of his true role, lower target volume, higher efficiency, higher touchdown rate.
And he was 9th and 8 yard opportunity with 1,657, too. So he saw the air yard opportunity there.
Yeah, he did.
I think mine is the guy below him on pros, and is Deebo Samuel, head wide receiver, 16, 38 overall. I think we're going to see more of the traditional wide receiver one in Brandon Ayuk take over. Deebo obviously cannot stay healthy to save his life at this point, and they're going to keep using him as a hybrid player, and those unnecessary hits are going to keep mounting up. I can't buy into a early fourth round, late third round pick for him. Especially guys like Calvin Ridley, Amari Cooper, who we've talked about extensively on this show, Keenan Allen, and even guys like Hopkins and McLaurin who are going behind him. I'm not bought into Deebo at that range, and as much as I love him as a player, I'm just not there.
Give me Brandon Ayuk at cost over Deebo Samuel.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, Ayuk is going 3 rounds behind him. 4 rounds behind him, almost. It's because
what we got out of Samuel a couple years ago was that rushing upside, and last year he didn't return value on it, so he stayed healthy,
and he was used literally all over the field, and like the quarterback situations. I know, I think we all can assume with Brock having the massive recovery that he's had, he'll probably be the starter week one. It's still like. It's just not the offense I think built for Deebo, and I think that was an easy fade for me, and I have zero interest at cost.
How about cost of Marquise Brown right now with no true quarterback? We don't know about Kyler Murray's status of when he's exactly going to be coming back. Do you feel comfortable having him as your wide receiver 3, or would you rather have him more as a wide receiver 4?
Who else is around him?
So I'm sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
I say you go ahead. I say what I have around him is come be 2 before him are Christian Kirk, Mike Williams. 2 after him are Tyler Lockett and Mike Evans.
That's probably about right. The only guy I don't like there is Mike Williams, which should be no surprise to anybody.
I also have guys like Pittman, Deontay Johnson,
yeah,
George Pickens in that range too.
Yes,
I think Brown's a more explosive player. I think there's some question marks around a guy like Lockett with JSN coming in, and Who else?
Well, we don't know who the starting quarterback right now is.
It's
Colt McCoy or is Clayton Toon, I think, at this point. It's one of those two.
Right.
You have Christian Kirk. This is a tier of question marks, all right? You've got Christian Kirk with Calvin Ridley coming back. You've got Mike Williams in a new offense, but he's consistently underperformed. You've got Marquise Brown, where you don't know what the quarterback situation is. You got Tyler Lockett with the addition of JSN. Forget who else you said was
it Mike Evans.
Mike Evans with no true quarterback.
No true quarterback that can throw it deep. Where Mike Evans excels at.
But he's traditionally produced. And then Deontay Johnson, who's just kind of a volume guy that never really does anything with it. So I think that's fair. I think I'd be as comfortable with him there as I would be the next guy at that level. I think they all have questions that are fair. And I think that, you know, at least we know, or at least I think we know, that Kyler's coming back at some point this season, whereas some of the other guys, you know, their situations could be more permanently fucked. I don't think we expect a big resurgence from Baker Mayfield or a breakout from Kyle Trask. Mike Williams is the other one that's at least, I don't like him. I he's never produced consistently. He disappears, but you know, his OC situation's more permanent. I think with Brown, I might like him near the top of that grouping of guys. He's the only one that we know is going to return to more something we know situation-wise than the other guys are, but I guess he's in a new offense too. Can't forget
that's
about
where
that.
Yeah, and that's where you're hoping that he's more of a product of volume, the more so, because the offense is not going to be good. It's going to be probably the worst offense in football until Murray gets back. And at that point, where Arizona's at that point, they may not bring him back. I mean, there's the whole speculation that he may not even be on the team next year, just given how high of a draft pick they could have on top of having not only their own, but also having Houston. So it's an offense that's easily avoidable. I would have no qualms. People are like, I don't want Marquise Brown because I just don't want to have anybody. I don't want to have any shares of that. Of that Cardinals offense, right? Why take Brown in the, you know, seventh, eighth round when you can just try to get a guy like Greg Dortch in the back end and just wait? Like, why target an offense as bad as the Cardinals will probably be this year? And I can see that argument too. Brown showed that he can be a volume guy in Baltimore. He showed that. He was a slight volume guy with the Cardinals when Hopkins was hurt and suspended last year before he got hurt. We know that he could be a productive guy. It's just he also has an injury history, it's not Kyler Murray throwing the football. It's going to either be, you know, Clayton Toon or Colt McCoy.
Clayton Toon might be an upgrade.
He's definitely an upgrade over McCoy. It better be Clayton too starting week one. I'll just say that. There's no reason for them to play Colt McCoy literally at all. Zero.
I agree. Who else we got? What else is interesting?
Interesting.
Wide receivers.
Really the Baltimore receivers.
Yeah, where are they at?
So Zay Flowers. So this is based on Fantasy Pros. Brian, you can vet me with face-offs.
Probably gonna be the same.
So Flowers is wide receiver 48, 120th overall. Bateman's 55, 154th overall. So basically free. And then OBJ, is he higher? Well, OBJ is actually the number one. Sorry, he was a few spots. He's seven spots ahead of Beckham, 41, 98th overall. So there's a lot of buzz coming out of Baltimore for Zay Flowers. Yeah, I don't know why Beckham's that high. It makes no sense to me.
That's not what I was saying. What the hell about it? I was saying what the hell with Christian Watson at 24.
Yeah, I see his name and just forget about him. I have absolutely zero interest in Green Bay's offense, who might actually be the worst offense in football. Fuck Jordan Love. Why? Like you're chasing touchdowns on a team that won't score a lot this year. Sorry, Packer fans, but no.
The more I look at this, guys, the more I might be with you on trying to go running back heavy, because a lot of these wide receivers I feel like are going to be really clumped up scoring wise.
Right?
Well, I mean, that's what it feels like every year.
Like
no, like last year I went wide receiver heavy when everyone was going running back heavy.
I still love my hero. I still love my hero RB build, and that's trying to grab
what was
like the actual volume receivers, you know, ignoring guys like Watson, who's not a volume guy at all.
Right.
And try to get guys in, you know, try to get multiple top 12 guys and go after a third or fourth round running back who's got no true RB1 upside with that volume.
Oh.
So you said Fantasy Pros had Flowers.
So Beckham. Yeah, so Beckham is 41, 98th overall. Flowers is 48th, 120. And Bateman's 55, 154. So Bateman's the last of the three. Just given his injuries, this, you know, in his recovery, it's been kind of slow, but he's back and fully cleared. Flowers with the rookie, and Baltimore's history of first round receivers has not gotten in their right direction. If people still buy into that, and then Brennan and Beckham. I do like this offense, and I think having a piece of these receivers, guys like Zay Flowers, who could be a volume play just given his role with Boston College. And then I will always love Bateman. I think Beckham's the fool's gold, but they're all relatively cheap, you know, 9th, 10th round or later.
Yes. Yep. Same here.
Which is the perfect spot to go grab your guy. If you don't believe in Beckham, perfectly fine. You take Flowers or Bateman and vice versa for these guys. All three of these receivers, I think, are worth taking a shot on.
Between wide receiver 27 and wide receiver 43 was 20 points over the course of a 16-game season, or about a point and a half a game.
That's why you yeah. aim for upside. That's why you gotta be careful when you aim for strictly floor.
Or
you gotta find guys that can, you know, break open an offense if they can. Like, it's the importance of going wide receiver early is where that's true. It's volume and touchdowns, right?
It's because you have the same 20-point drop off between wide receiver 6 and wide receiver 7, and then you have the same 20-point drop off again between wide receiver 7 and wide receiver 10. So your high end is where that matters, but once you get out of wide receiver 10, you go between 11 and 19, and then it gets more gradually more clumped up as you go. And that's kind of what I was saying, is when you get into this wide receiver 3, right? I mean, back into the wide receiver 2s all the way down to wide receiver 4, it's pretty much the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
But you got to get in 2 in the top 19, essentially, is I think what I would hope for, is to get 2 wide receivers out of the top 19, and then you mix and match and play the upside with the rest of it for the guys that are between the back end of 3 and the top end of 5. And at the end of the day, the difference isn't going to be that much.
No. Nope.
And again, you have 19 wide receivers to get 2 guys out of. On the flip side, for running backs, you have, well, got about 18 to get 2 guys out of before there's a big drop, and it starts getting really clumped up. So it's about,
I'll give another receiver too. Elijah Moore, going one spot ahead of Bateman, 54,
yeah,
140 plus range, basically free. As much as I hate to talk about the positive of Cleveland, it's the offense didn't have to throw a shit ton. Cooper can't stay healthy. Proven that his entire career, and Moore should start alongside Cooper and probably DBJ. A team that should be throwing more this year, should be better than last year.
But we agreed and we were
all reports.
Amari Cooper show.
Hey, I'm on Cooper. Elijah Moore is basically free. If I can get free Elijah Moore on it, again, it's weird saying that, but the Cleveland offense should improve. Absolutely. And Moore is third, should be their clear wide receiver too. There should be enough volume for him and Cooper. And if something happens to Cooper, Moore steps into that, in that true flanker role, which could yield a lot of upside. He's one injury away, Hopper.
One injury away.
One injury away.
I hate it.
That's, and then I guess guys like KJ Osborne's free, but I mean, like, getting this range, they're all they're all free. Jonathan Mingo might be Jonathan Mingo might be the wide receiver one in Carolina. He's free.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
Rashi Rice.
That's the same shit, right? With Carolina, like Mingo might be the one, or Marshall might be the one. It's the same shit as the Giants theory between Hyatt and Campbell,
right?
It's like,
yeah, and they're all relatively the same price too,
right?
Across both teams,
there are ones to be had that are low, and it's kind of it's really a pick your guy scenario. Like Kansas City is that way, New York is that way. The Giants, not the Jets. Jets are pretty chalk. New England.
The Broncos.
In a lot of ways that way. Yeah, they're like a better version of that, though. Because the talent of the guys you're picking between is likely to fall out of the bottom.
Let's look at them, though. So we have Judy is 18, wide receiver 23, 53 overall. Mm-hmm. Sutton's 43 overall, so 20 wide receiver spots behind him. 103. Oh, yeah. Sun's coming in. He's 10 pounds lighter than I guess he was last year. More up.
He's sleeping on him.
More up. Yeah, I'm saying, Hopper, you and I both loved, especially last year.
Yeah, and it didn't pan out because the offense was bad, but hell yeah, I will run that back. And
then Michael Thomas.
See what happens. Michael Thomas is another one.
Wide receiver 42, 96 overall.
I can't sleep on that.
You got to play. You're playing upside. Where's Hopkins at?
Hopkins is a bit higher.
Yeah, Hopkins, he's like top 20.
I got wide receiver 51st overall. I have been pro Hopkins my entire fucking life.
Oh.
It's since he's been in the NFL.
Fuck.
I don't like that range.
Where's Metrie? Free.
Oh,
they're all free. Fuck Nico, yeah. Metrie, Tank, Woods. They're all free. And Tank Bell is going to might see some love after his performance tonight, so...
Texans are going to have to throw a lot with, I know, rookie with an upgraded QB, but they're probably going to have to throw a lot. I'm just saying.
I'm so utterly shocked they traded their first round pick to move up.
Yeah.
They're going to be one of the worst. Like, I legitimately think that Murray might not be a Cardinal next year because they're going to end up with the 101 and just take Caleb Williams. Or maybe even Drake May and just trade a Kyler Murray.
That could be
to Minnesota. Oh man,
that could be.
I
just ease him back after they lose the first four or five games.
Like even the Bears, if they score,
if Fields doesn't progress, not right their way. If things don't progress with Fields, absolutely they could be in a great position.
Oh man, to think Kyler Murray might not be a Cardinal because the Texans fucked up as bad as they did.
Yeah.
That team still sucks. And
where's Brandon Cooks at?
Cooks is 39th, 93rd overall.
That's also not bad at all for
right around the range of those mid wide receiver twos on offense. You know, Pickens, Jason, Dotson, Addison, Burks, Beckham, Thomas.
Fun range. Another guy in a solid offense that has a history of producing. He won't be the one, but. The wide receiver two on the Cowboys can definitely be worth something.
I do kind of like Michael Gallup, another full year removed from his ACL tear.
Mm-hmm.
Did that should still be the three. That's true. They're supposedly put him in the slot. Are they going to put him back into his more natural role? You know, Cooks will take more of the nine role and work deep. But you're right.
I could see
we know value.
I think it matters where you line up on the field if you can't catch the football. But the comfort does matter to that, I understand. So
hey man, you can't get drops if you don't get targets. So that's why drops don't matter in fantasy. Unless you're, you know, Michael Gallup and you're not very good. But hey, he's free.
Yeah. All right.
Tight ends,
if we have to.
I mean,
We should.
They're their position. People play them.
Well, in that case, we got to do kickers too.
Dalton Kincaid is tied in 13.
Jesus.
He's 12 on ours. It really doesn't matter after I think Evan Ingram is tied in 8.
Yeah.
You have Njoku at 9. Pat Freiermuth, Schultz. Like, God, tight ends, but why? Just why? Why?
Kelce Andrews, I'm out. Or Kelce Andrews and Waller, and then I'm out.
I still like Pitts, man. I can't quit Pitts in year three.
Well, people play in most leagues, and that's only three guys. So you got to, and some people are dumb enough to draft two. So you got to at least go a little deeper than that. I don't like Dalton Schultz being at the 11 because I don't like Houston.
I like Goddard, but Goddard will be in that odd fucking 6 to 9 range probably.
Where's Komet's ADP? He's the 14th
is
right now.
12. He's tied in 12, 121.
That's not bad. 12th round? No, 11th.
Basically, he is 121, would be 10th round.
That's pretty good.
Apparently, Adam Troutman's ahead of Craig Dolchez on the Denver depth chart, if anyone cares.
I guess.
Oh my God.
I don't care. Dolchez.
Dan LaPorta. I mean, it's hard to ignore that.
Go ahead.
Positive reports come out of Detroit. Ryan, sure you've heard a bunch. Every day, I feel like it's something better.
I heard it. I saw it.
But still rookie tight end.
Positive reports and big opportunity. I mean, what?
And Jameis Williams for 6 games, so that's another big thing.
Can you ask who's ahead of Irv Smith in Cincinnati?
Nobody.
No one.
That's interesting.
Well, hold on.
Is that Drew Sample anymore?
Sample's a blocking tight end. I thought he went to, I wasn't Dallas. Who's the other blocking tight end from that year? That was Smythe.
From Smythe, yeah.
Yeah. Pulling up the depth chart. My receiver is Irv Smith. Yeah, it's still Drew Sample.
Okay.
Irv Smith. Yeah. It's Irv Smith.
There's some intriguing.
There's some. He's a very intriguing streamer. Yeah. Never volume. Can't stay healthy.
Tight ends and late breakouts are not under. Dawson Knox at 26 is also like, he's not going to get drafted at that level, but.
Nick Muse cut it. Who the fuck is Nick Muse?
What?
The Vikings are up 10-0. Somebody named Nick Muse got a touchdown from Nick Mullins.
It's not a real person.
Nick Muse is a tight end.
Person.
He looks like he looks at the Great Kalali.
You said he looks like the Great Kalali.
Yes, this picture looks like, dude, I'm telling you, pull up Nick Muse. The ESPN photo makes him look like the Great Kalali. I'm telling you, it does.
Oh my God.
Like a younger version. Yes. Then it's the fucking nostrils, bro. I'm telling you.
It's the jawline, too.
And the jawline. He looks like he's 6'5".
So the Great Khali couldn't move.
He was so bad. But I loved him.
Wow.
Yeah, he looks a lot like him. Something named Nick Muse, who probably won't make the team.
Interesting. A tight end good wearing number 34.
Speaking of Minnesota, how do you feel about TJ Hockenson?
He's right where he needs to be.
Top three.
Tight end three.
Yeah.
I'm torn between taking him ahead of Mark Andrews or not. I probably would. Vikings are going to be throwing the ball so much this year. But Addison, also a lot of positive praise. I still like Osborne. It's basically cheap. But that team's going to throw. We're going to throw a shit ton this year. Like, we're going to be top three in pass attempts.
Is Cole Fotheringham and Mark Vidal Jr. on the
what? These names, like, these are just names you're making up, I feel like.
No, like, just go to the bottom of the Fantasy Pros ADP. Jelani Woods is interesting at 33, but beyond that,
I see Zay Likely at 33 for
how are you sorted?
Either way,
standard scoring.
You're in standard scoring, that's probably why.
Okay,
Darnell Washington, but that's mainly for dynasty. I love how Rob Gronkowski is still ranked.
Roger Carter Jr.
Jimmy Graham, who's actually on a team.
He is, yeah.
Shoemaker.
I couldn't believe that.
I know.
I couldn't believe when he got signed. I was it wasn't to retire.
It was like, yeah. What a fucking, like, Saints, why?
Contract.
Why? Literally, why?
Maybe he'll retire if he doesn't.
Amari Rodgers is, oh, no, never. I'm thinking of a different.
If he converted Rogers to tight end, that you're thinking of Monty Rogers.
Monty Rogers, yeah. I was like, he is not big enough to play tight end. Brock Wright's still on there. Hendricks shot.
Yeah.
Jake Ferguson, he's the tight end one in Dallas.
That's because Shoemaker's hurt.
He's been hurt since the day he got drafted.
I know. It's that's going to end up being a wasted pick.
Yeah, plus Shoemaker, I think, is right around the same age as Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, that's
it's pretty bad.
A wasted pick.
Which Jerry's good at doing that.
All right, so kickers, right?
Yeah, kickers.
All right. Nothing shocking because they're kickers. Justin Tucker, number one, you know, as he should. Number one in my heart, that's for sure. The Atlanta kicker is a top 10.
Younghoe
Koo? Younghoe Koo. Don't know why that team.
Because they can't score, so they always have to kick it.
Yeah, but that offense still isn't very good.
You don't have a good offense to get field goals.
Like Jake Moody is already top 12. I love it. I know, but you still have to be able to move the ball on offense to get to field goal range. And Atlanta's, I don't know.
Maybe they get it within 40 yards. They're good.
Where's Jake Moody? That's all I want to know.
He's tight end 11. Or tight end. He's kicker 11.
Oh, kicker 11?
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
All right. I think that's it.
And we're done.
We've gone too far. We've gone too deep.
No, we're in too deep. We should have done kickers earlier. Kickers have more value than tight ends.
After the first like six of them, yeah.
Somebody fact check that.
Because we're in too deep. I mean, they're worth a lot of points.
Trying to keep up.
This is the reason why kickers lead their teams in points.
Instead of going under, but I'm in too deep.
And I'm trying to keep up above in my head.
Instead of going under.
Instead of going under.
At Ryan Miner _ FFB, we didn't give his X handle while we were introing the show. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. X gonna give it to you.
X.